the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As we just heard the blessed gospel of this blessed Sunday, we heard the command that we are all familiar with, and we all find difficulty with it sometimes. The command to us to love our enemies and to deal kindly and nicely with those people who do not favor us. And before we go into this area where we all can find it is hard, how can I forgive, how can I deal with people nicely, people who attacked me? And this is in a way the climax of the Christian virtues, something very unique about Christianity, this particular command. But before we go into the PhD, people usually they start the education from getting a lower degrees. And before we try to struggle to love our enemies, we have to make sure that at least there are certain points that are clear in our minds. Because many times we have our own struggles, how we think, how we understand and interpret others. And in many occasions, those enemies are created in our minds. So let us go today and reflect on seven steps we have to do before we end into this struggle to love our enemies. The first thing we should do before we struggle to love our enemies is to how to learn to love and accept ourselves. When the Lord Christ commanded us to love others, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. What if I don't love myself? What if I don't like whom I am? What if I'm not forgiving myself? I cannot tolerate my own skin. I find it difficult with this. Then what will happen is I cannot love anybody else. And I will find this is something very natural, that I will make others to look bad in my own eyes, because this is how I'm going to justify. We are all bad. I don't like whom I am, then I cannot like anybody else. Knowing our own values in the sight of God and whom we are, what we are called to be, is not because of a specific thing about us, but because that the status that we were granted to be children of God. Seeing our own weakness in the light of the grace and mercy granted to those who are for the Lord the Christ. So the first step, I have to learn how to live with myself. I accept myself, and I have to, in a way, love myself before I struggle to love others. The second step, I need to know how to love those who love me. Before I struggle in my mind to love my enemies, do I love those people who care truly about me or not? This might be a surprising question, but we can look in the scripture and see how in many occasions people hated those who cared about them for different reasons. Somebody like Absalom, the son of David, he hated his father who cared and loved him and reared him and made him whom he is. Absalom wanted to be a king. And this kind of competitiveness made him to hate the one who loved him. Another person also is King Saul. His jealousy from David made him all the time to hunt for the soul of this young man, wants to kill him. Why do you want to kill him? He loves you. In Saul's mind, David was an enemy. Why? Because this is whom I am, how I think. I made an enemy of a friend simply because I felt jealous of him. Cain's envy of Abel. What did Abel do in order for Cain to hate him? In many days after God rejected Cain's offering, Cain thought of Abel as an enemy. Abel didn't do him any harm, just to offer an offering that was accepted by God. And this sense of envy made Cain to think bad of the man. Maybe definitely Abel loved his brother, never thought evil of him. The lost son, the one who decided to go away from his father's house. Maybe the day when he was leaving, he felt relieved. I'm out from this house that I'm imprisoned in. But this was not true. This is the house where he was raised, the house that has his father who cared the most about him. So before we start saying I should struggle to love my enemy, let us make sure that we love those people who love us and care about us. Let us acknowledge their love and see it and understand it and return it back to them before we say, I'm struggling to love my enemies. Before we also struggle to love our enemies, we have to watch what we say, what we think, what we do, Because we might be creating enemies for ourselves, and the whole thing is all in my mind and my heart. The Bible teaches us about certain actions and thoughts and words that create enemies. The Bible warns us about a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren, going and distributing words about who did what, and those people said this about you. I'm creating enemies between other people. And when this backfire, I have no one to blame except myself. Also, we know that love thinks no evil. Imagining evil about others all the time makes me a person who is not able to make friends. And then I say, okay, I'm trying to love my enemies. There are actually enemies are own, in my own mind. Another warning also about a person who is not watching what he says. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. Another warning, we hear it also in the book of Micah, when God says, woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. How a person can work evil on his bed? Just sleep, waking up from the early morning thinking of who did what and whom I'm going to reward back in a way that's not good. All of these ways and way of thinking, what we say, can create enemies. Before we struggle to love enemies, we have to make sure that we are not creating one. The fourth step before we struggle to love our enemies is to understand how to deal with differences. Unfortunately, many times we understand because we do not agree, then we are enemies. Sadly, this is a very common theme in where we come from our area back in the Middle East. If you don't agree with me, then you are enemy. We divide the world into allies and enemies. There is nothing in the middle called people that we disagree with, but we still love them. Can we at least in a way think that maybe you have different opinion, but we should not be enemies? There is no point of having animosity here. You find debates about different point of views, and then we end up into, this is my enemy, and we are struggling, we cannot love each other, and God help me to love my enemies. He's not your enemy, just a person who is not in disagreement with you. Looking at the scripture and seeing St. Paul, when we disagreed with what St. Peter did in Galatia, St. Peter visited the people there in Galatia. Galatia is a city in Asia Minor. Those people are not, they are new Christians. They are not Jews. He was eating with them and everything was doing okay until people came from Judea. And St. Peter started to withdraw, not wanting to be seen eating with Gentiles. St. Paul did not like this, and he rebuked St. Peter publicly before everyone. He told him that what you are doing is hypocrisy. And then what happened? We don't see St. Peter retaliating at this. We find him actually in his epistle recommending for us to read the epistles of St. Paul, because there are many, many good teachings in them. He never hold this against him. We disagreed, maybe I don't agree with what you did, but this is not going to make us enemies in any way. Also, the contention between those of the circumcision and St. Peter after the baptism of Cornelius. We read the beginning of this story in Acts chapter 10. St. Peter went and visited a centurion, a man who is a Gentile, Cornelius, and he baptized him, the first man who is not of Jewish origin to become Christian. When he came back, the people, the Jews, people of the circumcision, they contended with him. They did not favor what he did. How you enter into a man who is not a Jew and you sit and you eat with him. St. Peter explained things, and at the end, they saw his point of view. He convinced them what he did was God's command, and they ended up friends. So again, this is one of the areas we need to work on it. That when we disagree, it doesn't mean that we're enemies, it doesn't mean that we are in different camps. We might all have the same interest, but different points of view. Another thing here, which is, I have to exclude paranoia, and I don't want to go into sophisticated terms. Simply, paranoia is the delusion of persecution, that I think that others are against me. 5% of the population might have this personality disorder, thinking that others are against me. And I will just mention 7 criteria that was mentioned by the World Health Organization. And of course, the psychiatrist here might forgive me if I'm saying something out of date, but sometimes if I have 3 out of these 7, I might have a personality disorder. What are these 7 criteria? The first one is extreme sensitivity to setbacks and rebukes. Extreme sensitivity. It can end up into just a word of correction would be a big fight. Bearing grudges persistently. I hold it indefinitely. I take it with me to the grave. Tendency to distort experience by misconstructing the neutral actions of others. Something that's very neutral. Something that carries no harm whatsoever. I constructed in my way to make it look like it's an act of hostility. A combative and tenacious sense of personal rights out of keeping with the actual situation. Fighting all the time for what I assume is my right. Recurrent suspicion without justification regarding others' fidelity. Always thinking that other people are not faithful. All the time, even when they show kindness, I try to find maybe they are hiding something. Excessive sense of self-importance. This sense that I am so big and that's why people are against me. Excessive explanation of events on the basis of conspiracy. I interpret everything as a conspiracy. People are working together to harm me. These 7 criteria says there is some kind of paranoia, this delusion of persecution. Many times people are living with this sense and this personality disorder, thinking of other people as enemies, while the problem is how I think. Everything is in my mind. Sadly, it's tormenting. The 6th point to do before struggling to love our enemies is to reflect on what is behind the enmity. Even if there is enmity, what is behind it? Why God allowed it to happen? Maybe there is a blessing in disguise. As what happened with Joseph, the son of Jacob. He understood there is evil. People are hating him for no reason, no fault on his part. But he understood this was a blessing. God meant it for something that is good. Maybe actually this kind of enmity that happens and I do not contribute to it is just to keep my humility. When King David fled from his son Absalom, a man with the name of Shimei, the son of Gera, came after him cursing at him and saying that God is paying you because you are a bad man. King David thought about it. God told him to say this to me. Maybe God wants to remind me with another sin that I committed. He took it this way. He never considered this as an enmity with Shimei. He considered this as a warning or a message from God to keep his humility. Maybe this is going to make my prayer deeper. Maybe this kind of difficulty I am facing with other people will make me to draw closer to God and praying sincerely. Maybe actually this is how God is going to spare me the woes. It is said by the Lord the Christ, woe to you when all men speak well of you. So if you have 100% approval rate, this is not something good. Actually, here there is a woe for those people that everyone speaks good about them. Why? Because there is some sort of hypocrisy here. There is no way anyone can have 100% approval rate. So those people who do not like you, they dislike your way, maybe this is how God is sparing you the woe. The last thing is, before I struggle to love my enemy, I have to taste and appreciate God's forgiveness. I cannot forgive if I, me myself, am not enjoying forgiveness. Simeon the Pharisee, when he invited the Lord Christ in his house, and the woman who was a sinner in the city came, and we know the story when she fell on the Lord's feet. He thinks of himself as a righteous man. That's why he does not appreciate forgiveness. Forgiving what and whom? So unless I feel how big is my debt, I cannot forgive others. I cannot deal with other people easily. We know the parable that the Lord gave about the servant who is indebted to his master with a lot of money. We hear that the servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you well. I will pay you all. then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. We come every Sunday to the church praying for one thing, for forgiveness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. If I truly believe that I am indebted with all of these sins before God, it will not take much time and effort to forgive others. I'll go out from the church. I will grant to others what was granted to me. Nothing that I deserve made me to go inside the altar and partake of the Lord's body and blood. It is only His kindness. Then when I will go out, I will grant the same easily. I know how much I was forgiven, and I know that no matter what, people are not, did not harm me as much as I hurt God Himself. If I taste God's forgiveness, it's not going to be a big deal to grant other forgiveness as well. So today, my brethren, we heard the command and we know it and we are familiar with it. Love your enemy. But we let us think this way. Before I struggle to love my enemies, I have to make sure that at least these seven factors are complete. I will review and say them again quickly. Let us learn to love and accept ourselves first. Let us know how to love those who love us and care about us. Let us watch our words, thoughts, and actions. Let us understand how to deal with differences. Let us exclude paranoia from the way we think. Let us reflect on what is behind the enmity. And let us taste and appreciate God's forgiveness. May the Lord to grant us always to love everyone, to hold no grudge against anyone, as the Lord taught us, and glory be to God forever and ever.